Samuel Richardson's Clarissa is the longest literary novel written in the English language, which in time-challenged times like ours could be off-putting in itself. Published in 1748, it tells the story of tragic, ill-fated heroine Clarissa Harlowe and her dastardly tormentor, Robert Lovelace. For the past few weeks, actor Richard Armitage has been bringing the character of Robert Lovelace to life in Radio 4's impressive adaptation, as he weaves an intricate web of lies in his attempts to rob Clarissa of her honour.
As you know, I believe that virtue cannot be found in woman. This belief is crystallised by my first love, who betrayed me when I was at a tender age. Finding my beloved in the arms of another, so devastated was I by her duplicity and calculation, I vowed then to revenge myself on the sex. So, here's the trial. No woman has ever held out against me past a month. I have concluded against the whole sex upon it. Is it not for the whole sex, for all of female kind, that this trial should be made? Clarissa Harlowe, the virtue of all your sex depends on you alone.
Now there's a challenge. Richard Armitage as arch-villain Robert Lovelace. A popular novel on publication, Clarissa is now the kind of book that some might boast on their shelves, but few have actually read. Small wonder, Samuel Richardson takes 1,536 pages to tell the eponymous heroine's story of abandonment and abduction. And he does so entirely through letters. A snip, you might say, compared to Proust, who weighs in at 4,800 pages, but still a considerable challenge. How does anyone go about the major task of condensing such a long book into 4-hour-long episodes? And make it dramatic. I'm joined on the line from Edinburgh by the director of Clarissa, Marilyn Imrie, to shed some light on the art of such a challenging abridgment. Marilyn, Samuel Johnson said of Clarissa that you would hang yourself if you read it for the plot. Is he right, and were you daunted by the complexities?
I was a little daunted by the size, but Hattie Naylor, who's a fantastic writer and adapter, and I soon became passionate about ferreting out both details of plot and characterisation, which of course are all buried in all of the letters. So you have to read looking for clues about character and plot within each letter. They're seeded in there, but you have to go on a sort of detective, a mystery treasure hunt to find them. And we soon became delighted, both of us, in what we discovered and unearthed. So the plot is there, and for the reader and for us, a joy to try and ferret it out.
Is it fair to say that there's a lot of chaff disguising it? And how did you make the choice as to what to include?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't call it chaff, but of course he initially published this, as most novels were published, in an episodic form. So when he saw what his audience liked, he would return to it in further episodes. And so there was often a repetition, you know, once Lovelace gets on the road with Clarissa and takes her from humiliation to humiliation, often there's a repetition of character and event, which it's quite easy to remove for a 4-hour dramatization.
The extract we heard was, in fact, a letter written by Robert Lovelace to his friend Jack. How did you go about incorporating the letters into the drama?
Well, what's extraordinary is that although on the page they are letters, they're really a very, very early internal monologue style, which is intensely personal. So that although they begin with all the 18th century courtliness of manner in the correct writing of a letter, with I prithee and I beg you and I pray, when you remove these, you then get to the heart of somebody actually pouring their soul out, both Clarissa to her friend Anna, because remember, obviously there was no telephone, no texting, no email, no Facebook. So everything that the only communication these girls had, and men with their friends if they weren't meeting them, was to write. And they often wrote, you know, 8 or 9 times a day. Letters would whiz back and forward carried by servants. And they would be an outpouring of emotion as much as a newsy catch-up.
veritable 18th century Twitterers, weren't they? It's pretty classic 18th century fare in which women were either saints or sinners and always victims or pawns of evil men. Does it still speak to modern women?
Well, again, Hattie and I both agreed that we all women and men, know a Lovelace in our lives, or have known one. Someone who is enormously attractive and beguiling. I mean, remember that he doesn't drag Clarissa away. He persuades her and he sets it up so that she really has little choice, but she still does have choice. She could turn away from him, but she undoubtedly finds him enormously attractive. And he believes a lot of the things he tells her, like we all do, not just men, women too. When we want someone or something, we tell them things that we know they want to hear, and we tell them things about ourselves that we believe when we tell them. And that's somehow what's compelling and endearing, although shocking, about Lovelace, that he's a recognisable character.
Thanks to Marilyn Imrie, and you can hear the heartbreaking conclusion of Clarissa on Easter Sunday, the 4th of April at 3 p.m.